traveled with a gun in every hand. All along this countryside he opened many a door, but he was never known to hurt an honest man.
Bob Dylan recorded the song on this day in 1967, John Wesley Harding. I love that song. And then I realized who John Wesley Harding was. Do you know who he was?
Who was he?
He was a slave catcher.
Oh, wow.
That was one of the things he did. So I'm singing the song, going, why am I singing this song?
That's why history is important.
Yes. That's why history is important.
It is.
On the way to this conversation, I'll remind you the Mark Sanna Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you, and money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union's banner. It's that time of the month.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's the voice.
It is.
Chauncey Whitehead in the house.
Oh, I'm here. We're here.
Owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, fitness professional, community activist, and Miss Ernestine Shepherd joins us by phone. She's had a cold, but she's with us. Personal trainer, professional model, world's oldest competitive bodybuilder at 78, but 77, but you've got another year on you now, 78.
That's right, 78. 78 and feeling great.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. And Angela Gidmeadow is back with us in the house. She is a registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator who's an expert in nutrition specializing in type 2 diabetes, gestational diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and weight management. Be the last time I say that today. And affiliated with the Johnson Diabetes Center in Baltimore. Good to have the three of you with us.
Oh, it's good to be here. Good to be here.
410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. John Tuso, start us off. Where are we? Why are we here?
It seems like just yesterday, last November, that we all were here and Angela was here because it's November is National Diabetes Awareness
Month.
Yes,
it is. National Diabetes Month.
We had our walk, and then Angela enlightened all of our listeners on how to eat during the holidays a little bit more sensibly.
I remember
this
conversation.
So we have our walk coming up this Saturday at Druid Hill Park at 7:30 a.m. It will be our 16th consecutive walk, Mark.
We haven't 16 missed, months.
16 months in a row. We don't plan on missing any months if Lord is willing. So this is our 16th month. The month of November is here, so we want to highlight diabetes awareness and get individuals to come out and walk, and please listen to Angela with the information as relates to eating and smart and that kind of thing.
All right. Wow. 16, that's great.
16 months. Ain't that right, Mama?
That's
correct.
16 months in a row. 16 months. And you've been to at least four or five of them, Mark.
I have been to, I can think, at least five of them.
Angela came out to a couple, but you remember, Mama, she didn't wear the appropriate winter clothes, Mark.
That's all right. She knows what to do now.
Yes, I do.
So talk to us a bit about what this National Diabetes Month is and what's the association with this.
So diabetes, November is one of the months that they highlight diabetes, but people around the world are living with diabetes every day, and it's about 29 million individuals that were diagnosed with diabetes in 2012, and we know that number will grow. The one population that is continue to really push the epidemic is the aging population. Mm. And I think that sometimes we believe that if we're 60, I haven't started, so why get started now? But we do know that people are living longer. Therefore, diabetes may occur. My grandfather was diagnosed with diabetes at 86.
Wow.
And he said, well, how can I be healthy? Nothing's wrong with me. All of a sudden now I have diabetes. And I just said, Pop, you outlived your pancreas.
And
that's what
like
really
that
was all about.
Yeah.
And so he really understood that the eating healthy and exercising really was the key for him. And you're never too old to get started. he's been doing, you know, exercise and eating right all his life, but he had to have a different focus on it now, being diagnosed with diabetes. And now he's 90. So he wants to live to 100.
Congratulations, Pop-Pop.
Yes, he wants to live to 100 living with diabetes. So
that's a testimony.
Yeah, I really do believe that more people need to understand that diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is preventable. It is manageable once you're diagnosed with it, but you have to make sure you keep an eye on it and understand that those principles of eating better and exercising.
So, folks, if you have thoughts and questions about diabetes and thoughts and questions about your lifestyle, thoughts and questions about how and what you eat and on the importance of walking and more, join us here at 410-319-8888. Love you to join this conversation. I think that this question of diet and health we talk about every month, and Ms. Ernestine is obviously one of our living examples of what you can do as we get older to stay fit and healthy.
That's true.
Doesn't stop colds from coming, though, sometimes. I hope you feel better soon, Ms. Ernestine.
Yes, I'm doing much better, thank you.
So, one of the things I was this is not quite diabetes, but I was thinking about this the other day because of an article I read in the New York Times. We're going to be doing a program about it, and I was thinking about diet and eating and exercise, is the dangers of eating late.
That probably is, 70% of Americans.
A lot of people eat late. I always think about sumo wrestlers gain their weight by eating and sleeping. And a lot of us don't. We're not sumo wrestlers,
but we eat like them,
and we eat and sleep. So most of my clients know me. I say you have to have a time where the kitchen closes. So that cutoff time needs to be no more, 2 hours before you go to bed. You need to not go back in that kitchen for anything to eat. And about what your meals are really based around. And dinner should not be a really heavy meal if you know you're going to go right to sleep. That magic, thing to really just get active after meals is really important, especially dinner. It's a great way to use that energy up and be able to rest better. When you eat heavy meals and go to sleep, you have nightmares, you are tossing and turning.
Acid reflux.
Yes, all those things. But if you just cut your portion size down and were able to get active after your largest meal, that would be great.
What were you about to say, Ms. Ernestine?
No, I was just going to say I like eating maybe every 2.5 or 3 hours during the day. And then by the time 6 o'clock, you're finished.
Your kitchen is closed, Mama?
That's right. That's what we always say at my house, kitchen closed.
The kitchen is closed. And, Mark, we do understand, Miss Ernestine, myself, and Angela, that sometimes just by what you have going on during the day, it's kind of difficult to eat and close your kitchen at 8 if you're working 2 jobs and you get off at 9 and you still
That's
got
true.
Kids to get ready for. So I try to be sensitive to that because not everyone lives in the perfect 9-to-5 world. Mm-hmm. I train a lot of professional women that are nurses and they have shift work. So, their kitchen, although we try to, watch the excuse, well, my kitchen closes at 2 a.m. because I get off at 11. So, it's kind of difficult, and I do take that into account, and I'm sure Angela understands that too. I'm sure she has a lot of clients that their typical day is not 9-to-5, so it's probably one of those things you got to work, around your life schedule too.
Folks, join us here 410-319-8888. So what's the connection for you between diabetes and walking?
So really, even pre-diabetes, so that is one step in the door, I always say. A lot of people are walking around with diabetes, don't even know it, but they may have pre-diabetes. It has been shown that 150 minutes of walking or activity a week can lower your risk for diabetes.
Say that one more time, Ashley.
150 minutes a week can help you lower your risk of diabetes. And it does not have to be, it doesn't have to be anything strenuous. It can be simply a walk. And I really look at my grandfather because that's all he loved to do was just walk.
That's it.
And that, people think they have to jog, they have to do a marathon, they have to do all these things. But walking is really simple. And it's for free.
And it's free.
Free,
fun, and you never know who you might meet out there. I always, Miss Ernestine and I were at a program we were talking Monday, and as I said on this radio program, if I had not been walking, and I'm a runner, Miss Ernestine is a runner, we would have never met each other. And so you never know who you're going to meet when you're out there walking too. And I always stress walking. I, of course, I'm an avid runner. I love to run, but you have to walk. You don't have to run. You know, and that's one of those things that Ganja said as relates to diabetes, 150 minutes. And we're not talking about a power walk. We're talking about you getting out there, getting a walk, finding someone to walk with. Please come join us Saturday. Walk, and hopefully if Angela is there, if she's not there, we can get some information to pass out, you know, as it relates to diabetes and exercise and movement. And that's why our community walks, we stress, what is it, Mama? Walking.
Walking, that's all. It's not a race. No one's trying to walk and talking faster than the other. We're just walking, having fun.
That's it. You know my mantra, a community that walks together, talks together.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were these recent studies. We have not, we're going to do this on another program with three of you, the two of you. These studies have come out showing that walking in groups helps your not just physical health, but your mental health.
Oh, definitely.
The conversation, the camaraderie, the community, that these are really, it's I mean, walking alone is okay too, because you can be contemplative and walk, and which I love doing, but walking in groups is something that is good for your physicality and your and your mental health.
Oh, that's true. Totally agree. And when you're in with a group, you don't even realize how far you're walking. You're just having fun, just having a casual conversation. And it's joy, because we do that on our monthly walks. And they say, gee, are we finished?
Yep.
Doesn't seem like we were walking that long.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, as you said, Mama, there's 3 to 4 to 5 miles. Mm-hmm. And then we also want everyone to talk, because you could be looking for that healthcare professional. But now that you're in that walking environment and you've talked to a new friend that you met, and they're like, well, let me refer you to this individual.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've been looking for a dietitian. Hey, well, you know, we got a nutritionist. Hey, that's Angela. So we promote walking, not just in our group on the weekends, but find yourself a group. Find yourself a few people. And like you said, that study, the direct correlation between walking and how you feel about yourself is so important.
I was going to say that group dynamic is really the motivation for you to keep going. When we're trying to make a lifestyle change, you have to have the right people around you.
That's true.
And so when you have the right people walking with you, even a friend that knows to eat a little bit better, the right combination really helps you to keep that motivation to keep going.
I'll give you a good example, Marcus. This is important. We had our walk last month. And our theme was breast cancer and raising the awareness in the community. It was raining and cold. Miss Ernestine and I said, you know what it is? Might be me, you, and Bobby McGee out here. We had 27 people.
There you go.
And nobody knew that it was raining. Nobody knew it was cold, because, like you said, Mark, our levels of energy was up.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I think that's really good. The 27 people showed up
in the rain. And cold.
Walking in the rain is fine. It's songs written about walking in the rain, right? Mm-hmm. Dancing
walking
in the rain.
Walking in the rain with the one I love. You know that.
There you go. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Alex in Edmondson Village. Alex, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Steiner.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
My question to your guests is green tea really a fat burner, and does it really help diabetes? I take your answer off the air.
That's a really interesting question. That clearly is an Angela question.
That definitely.
So that tea in general, and it has many different properties, but black tea and green tea, they have properties to help you with your immune system, also for you to be alert, even heart health benefits. Now, regarding to diabetes or fat burning capabilities, they have not studied that it's going to help you burn any more energy. I will tell you, it's all what you put in your tea. So green tea and black tea need to be steeped for 5 minutes or more, and also no regular sugar.
Mm.
So all the studies, and even honey, agave, all the studies show that it is steeped and it is plain. It goes back to most Asian cultures.
No, honey or agave is what you said? Awesome.
No, all the studies show going back to Asian.
She's messing up a lot of people's cups of tea now.
Yeah, Asian cultures. Asian cultures, they showed that they had lower cancer rates and lower heart disease rates by drinking black and green tea, but it was plain. It was not. It was not sweetened with anything, and it was not. It was no milk in it or cream. It was plain. So to reap the benefits, you got to drink it plain and steep it and loose tea leaves. That has most of the research is on loose tea leaves.
Well, at least I know now. I'm at least do one thing right.
Yeah, I hear
that's
you.
That's how I drink my tea. 410-319-8888 is the number. Alex, thanks for that question. It was a really good question.
Good question, Alex.
410-319-8888, your questions about diabetes and health and fitness. Diane in Baltimore, you're on the air. Welcome, Diane.
Good morning.
Good morning, Diane.
Hi. I'm calling to find out what exercise can you take if you're unable to walk long distance for your diabetes.
Is there exercise you can take?
Oh, well, first of all, Diane, good morning. And before you start any exercise program, you should check with your medical, your health care professional. You know, I don't have the ability to tell you, yes, you should walk or yes, you shouldn't walk or what type of exercises you should do. But I can ask you to check with your physician and then ask them what type of exercise program that you can participate in safely.
But what if somebody, I think what Diane's saying, that she, for whatever reason, she cannot, is that what you're saying, Diane, you cannot walk?
Not me, but I know folks that has diabetes, but their knees are bad and they're unable to walk long distance.
Okay. Once again, I'm still going to stick with that because your medical professional would probably refer you to maybe a swimming program
right.
or something or something like that. But always, 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 always check with the medical professional first. And if the individual really wants to get out and exercise and participate in some type of movement, I feel better that they are working with their medical professional to find out what exercises they can do.
And so, for example, I am at the University of Maryland Center for Diabetes and Endocrinology, and we have chair exercise class for our patients. So talking to your doctor, even working with your diabetes educator, can actually help you come up with the best plan for your health and also for you to be safe, because that's the biggest thing. We want you
biggest
to be safe,
safe
when you are being active.
Active, and then that's it. You know, is safe, just like Angela said, safe. So I believe, you know, consulting with your medical professional and your diabetes educator would probably help her.
So I'm a question here, and folks, please continue to join us at 410-319-8888. What do we know about what is at the root of diabetes and why so many people have it? Is it simply diet? Is there something in our culture? I mean, what is it about diabetes?
So we really don't know the reason why it happens. We do know about type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease. Your body automatically just shuts down the production of insulin. We do know that obesity is a catalyst to developing type 2 diabetes. And we do know that it is a small genetic factor to developing diabetes. So, for example, my father had diabetes. I have a 40% chance of developing it. Mm. If I have two parents with type 2 diabetes, I have up to 60% chance of developing it. If I have a identical twin with type 2 diabetes, I am at almost close to 80% chance of developing it. So we do know it has a genetic factor to it. We do know that that our culture, just, you know, they can actually look at cultures and how cultures have changed over time. We're not active anymore. We're not doing work that was active, you know, we're sitting more. And by just doing that, we know that we're increasing our risk of diabetes. But now it's all about prevention. So if I know that my father had diabetes, hey, me and my sister both need to take all the necessary steps to really prevent it.
And what does that mean, prevent it?
So you watch your weight. That's one thing. So when your doctor tells you you need to lose a couple pounds, please take it seriously.
Say that one more time, Angela.
So when your doctor tells you to lose just a couple pounds, you need to. It's only about 10 to 15 pounds that can really make a difference of preventing diabetes. Mm. So it doesn't have to be 100. It could just be 10 to 15 pounds. Also, we have to stay active every day. And find activity, because exercise is your medication for prevention and managing diabetes. And then also, you got to eat better. And we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables, but if we could just include more fruits and vegetables and drink plenty of water and leave some of the, you know, the sodas and sweet tea and lemonades and all the energy drinks, if we could leave those things alone, it's all these healthy habits that can really help you prevent
it. Because diabetes is interesting, and this is because I think about Miss Ernestine and her diet, and I was just looking at this piece that my producer sent me. When you talk about the worst food, the 13 best and worst foods for people with diabetes. Let me see what you think of this. Mm. Worst foods.
Okay, go ahead, Mark. Shoot it.
White rice.
Okay.
Blended coffees. because they're laced with syrup, sugar, whipped cream, and more. Bananas and melons?
I don't know if I believe
because
that one.
Because all fresh fruit is packed with vitamins and fiber, making them healthy. However, bananas, melons, like peaches, nectarines have a high sugar side.
Well, you know, fruit, actually, I don't know anybody that overdosed on apples or melon.
Or bananas.
Or bananas.
I agree.
But I would say that sugar content does vary for fruit, different fruits. We, as a diabetes professional, we don't actually say any fruit is bad. We just say watch the portion size.
Great.
So not have a 12-inch banana, maybe have a 4-inch banana. a quarter of a melon, not the whole melon. The portion size makes a big difference. And we know our portion sizes have grown over the years. And we really have to watch that.
And I think that this is almost counterintuitive, but one on this list is Chinese food, high calorie, high fat, high sodium, high carb Chinese food dishes.
And highly good.
It is, but I always propose this question to all my clients. When you go into an Asian restaurant, the people that are there, are they eating the food that they prepare for you?
No.
And the answer is no.
That's true. That's correct.
They are not eating that. You may see them eat a small amount of fish or shrimp, lot of vegetables.
Tofu-based dishes.
Yeah,
tofu-based dishes.
Steamed
vegetables.
Yes, steamed vegetables.
And that's when theirs come out.
But they're not having, you know, fried egg rolls and the fried rice and the extra sauce added to things. But we really have to think about that.
And I said, a little bit more with time we have here. Ms. Ernstine, please jump in as well. I mean, so it's a breakfast pastries, donuts, toaster pastries. Avoid. And everybody's saying, yes, avoid them.
That's an easy one, I think.
Well, that's an easy one.
Fruits. I do not eat any of those pastries.
You do not.
We know that.
Fruit smoothies. A fruit smoothie, I'm reading this, a fruit smoothie sounds like a healthy refreshment, but it can be a sugary disaster if you have diabetes. A large 28-ounce smoothie from Jambla Juice contains as much as 510 calories and 92 grams of carbohydrates.
Wow.
Yeah, so I always encourage whole fruit instead of the juice. And even sometimes people buy those bottled smoothies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I always tell them, they look on the side and they say, oh, it has 12 pieces of fruit. And I said, well, but you wouldn't sit down and eat 12 pieces of fruit. You would be really full. So if we could actually just have whole fruit instead of the juice and watch our portion size and look to see how things are prepared.
Yes.
I think that is the biggest thing, preparation.
I mean, you can make your own smoothies out of all kinds of greens and other stuff. And
yeah, vegetables should be the base of your smoothies at home. And when you're juicing, vegetables really do need to be your base.
That's true. Let's get another caller in here before we run out of the time, because we've got to get back to making sure people turn out on Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
410-319-8888. Michael in Montgomery County, you're on the air. Welcome, Michael.
Yeah, I have a sibling. My mom has five.
I'm sorry, Michael. Say it again.
Yeah, my mom is, she has two brothers and three sisters. And over the years, they end up having diabetes.
Right.
And on my dad's side, he has high blood pressure. But the question is, I'm getting to be 50 close enough. But I have been having great physical and keeping up exercise and eating
right.
my vegetables and doing the things that's necessary. What is the chances, because I listen to the young lady, what is the chances? I only have one sister, but she has no diabetic trace or high blood pressure also.
Okay, we're almost out of time, so let me let Angela grab that one.
So with your risk of diabetes, the biggest thing is for you to get screened. So if you know you have a risk factor, that being even if you're over the age of 45, you have a parent or a sibling with diabetes, if you had a young lady that had a baby over 9 pounds, these are all risk factors, or if you're overweight, you want to make sure you get screened. And you should get screened annually by your doctor by having a fasting blood glucose. It could be A1C or random. Then also be mindful of your symptoms. Signs and symptoms are extreme thirst, frequent urination, being very tired. If you are having symptoms, go to the doctor.
A very quick call because we're almost out of time here. And Judy in Baltimore, a quick thought because we have to run.
Hello?
Hi, Judy. We're almost out of time, so quick thought.
Yes. The comment that the young lady made about the Chinese food.
Yes.
I asked a Chinese lady one day, I said, do you eat this kind of food that you sell us? She said, we never eat it. She did. She said, if we drink a soda, she said, four of them will split one can soda.
Mm-mm-mm. Their portion sizes are so different.
That's interesting.
That's really interesting. She backed us up.
Yes.
So Saturday.
Mama, why don't you go ahead and then I'll close it on out. Tell everybody.
Okay, I want everyone to know that we'll be at Drood Hill Park Saturday morning. Be there at 7:30. We have our warm-up. After the warm-up, then we start our walk. So don't forget, don't be late. We're looking forward to having you. And we have so much fun.
And we're also asking walkers to bring non-perishable food items because we're collecting and we're going to be taking it to a food bank because a community that walks together supports the community. So please bring some non-perishable food items so we could take them to the food bank for Thanksgiving.
Phenomenal. Saturday morning, 7:30 by the tennis courts.
Tennis courts park area.
Chauncey Whitehead, always good to have you on our monthly visits
always
here.
Always good to be here.
Ms. Ernestine Shepherd, I love you. Good to have you with us as well.
Always glad to be with all of you.
Get well. And, of course, our wonderful resident dietitian and diabetes expert, Angela Ginn-Meadow. Good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you.
She's looking lovely today, too, Miss Ernestine.
She
you
is.
May not
yes,
be
she
here,
is.
But she's holding down your chair over there.
Amen to that. All right. Thank you all so much.
Okay.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Seth Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Sienna Greaves. Do you hear this show again, podcast our past shows, find out information about our guests, like the diabetes conversation we just had, please visit our website at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcasts on iTunes. Do that as well and enjoy them. And the ones we have all listed there. For Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM. I'm Mark Steiner, and that's Eugene Pitt, the Jive 5, born on this day. So, happy birthday. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.
What time is it? Through the clock. Tell me once again. What time is it? 6 o'clock.